for average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
I'm the number one draft pick. I'm Tony Boselli. They said fly the planes for me when I hurt my knee.
That's
everybody
true.
Else has to fly commercial.
That's true.
And then
I've got a burger named after me.
I don't remember little peons like John.
That's not true. I remember you, Pete.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's J.P. Shadrick.
We're off and running Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer down in South Florida, in the aftermath of a Week 6 loss to the Los Angeles Rams, 27-17, the final. Special teams.
Nightmare.
That's a start.
Say goodbye to the kicker. Get rid of the kicker.
What was that, Pete?
Get rid of the kicker.
Get rid of him.
Huh? Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, you got to make your kicks. Bottom line, in this league, you have to make your kicks. And he's not making them. And, I mean, look, we'll get into the bad coaching decision at the end of the game. But the guy's got to make his kicks. There's no – Tony, when you look
why
at
was it a bad
situations,
decision, Pete?
Why? Why not – it's second down. Why? You had a timeout. Why not?
No, they had no timeouts left, Pete. They had no timeouts left.
None. Zero.
Oh, I thought there was one left. Oh, even so, there's a minute 18 left.
Minute 12. Throw the ball. Minute 12.
Get another 10 yards, spike the ball, and then kick. There's no need to kick in that situation. I mean, if you had Sebastian Janikowski or Morton Anderson in their primes, then I could get it. But you got a shaky kicker. You make him kick a 53-yard field goal. What the hell is the point of that?
54.
He hadn't made one from over 50 all year, right?
It was. Listen, can we hit the facts right before we get into this? There was zero timeouts. There was a minute 12 left, and it was a 54-yard field goal. Outside of that, Pete, you got everything correct.
And it's a bad coaching decision.
The strategy is correct as far as getting three and then onsiding for seven. But
I get that.
I agree with you. I would have tried to get it to the 30, which would have made it a 48-yard field goal. I would have tried to make sure it was inside a 50-yard field goal. So I agree with you. The timing was poor. The strategy was correct.
Correct. The strategy is always correct in that situation.
Right.
The way they handled it was a bad coaching situation.
All right. So
Yes. I agree with that part.
You agree with me?
I agree with that part, yes. I would have done it. I said it during the broadcast. It was one of the more confounding things I've ever seen with a minute 12 left and a kicker who is struggling mightily to try a 54-yard field goal when he has not been close to making a field goal this year over 50.
Other issues on special teams, and I think bigger issues, were the 17 points that the Rams scored directly off special teams, if you count the missed punt.
Those 17
so
points.
So those are, I think, more important. Missed field goals are missed field goals. Those are bad things, yes. But they scored on a kickoff return to open the game, a blocked punt return for a touchdown, a sideways punt gives them field goal range right there.
So let's go over those, because those are all player mistakes, every single one of them. The coaches put the players in the right position to make plays. On the opening kickoff, it's a deep directional high kick. The coverage unit is inside the 20, about the 15-yard line, 17-yard line, when they're there to make a tackle. Jared Wilson is unblocked, sitting there, does a good job of defeating the blocker, but is sitting there scot-free to make a tackle on the 17-yard line. If you're going to miss the start, so he misses the tackle because he puts his head down, and correct. I don't know what he was doing, diving at worms. But if you're going to miss, and people miss tackles in this league, it happens. But you have to understand where your help is there. Your help is inside because they're pinning him into the edge, into the corner, so all your help is coming from the middle of the field. So if you're going to miss the tackle, air on missing
towards the sideline.
Towards the sideline and force him back into all the help where he would have got demolished at the 19-yard line. Instead, you duck your head, dive, looking for dirt worms, and get beat outside, and now your entire coverage unit is out-leveraged. And the rest is history.
That was one of the weirdest things. You know, for some reason, the TVs we have, they didn't switch over until – I think there was a game that went long or whatever, so we couldn't switch that one over until after the fact. They came, put it on. It was 7-0. I said, oh, we looked online. It said Farrell Cooper ripped the kickoff. I figured, all right. So he ripped it right up the middle, and there was part of the Red Sea, and boom, he got. Then I look at it, and I go, how the heck did that happen?
Missed tackles, I mean, Pete.
Yeah, well, he missed. He made. You're right. He made a great play to get away from the block, then put his head down. But also, Grant got blocked in that situation right on the sideline as well, and he couldn't get off his block. Otherwise,
well,
he probably tackles him.
Well, and Jared Wilson would have been better off being blocked and forcing the kick back into
right.
the middle of the field.
Yeah, that was a great return by Farrell Cooper. It was coached the right way. It was executed poorly.
Poorly. So that's 7. All right. We answer immediately with a long run. Is something going on here?
What's going on over here? I control you. We're trying to do a radio show.
We're trying to do a show here.
Guys, it's Jaguars
Tad,
Monday. It's our biggest show.
I'm just going to reach out about getting TJ.
That's Tad Dickman, PR.
Are you getting me? I mean, this is the most unprofessional thing I've ever seen, Joe.
What's going on over here?
This is embarrassing.
What is Tad doing?
I don't know.
Tad's an idiot.
Tad says he's got something to say to Pete.
Go, then you're say the it, air, Tad. We're on the air. People actually don't really care.
We're going to have words, okay?
Why is that?
Are you kidding? Stop. No,
what
we're stopping
going on
now.
Here?
Nobody
you got
cares.
A cell phone calling.
Yeah, no one cares, Tad. Nobody.
Why is he mad at me? I want to know
no,
what he's
no,
mad
good.
At me about.
We're good. I just want to say hi, Pete.
Oh, okay.
That's
all
great.
Right.
What the hell
I was
is
hoping
going
to end
on
one
here?
Of these Bocelli tangents, so I feel like I accomplished the goal.
This might count as
another
loss.
You know what you did? You're the first guy to irritate Tony today, which usually takes until like I get under his skin or until the fans start driving him crazy, Tad.
Well, we made it 13 minutes into the show before he got upset.
That's
not even that.
No, Tad, it's not. You can't do time either. And by the way, this is not the Tad Dickman. This is not the Tad Dickman show, so why don't you see your way out of here?
Yeah. We're going to come to your next PR meeting is what's going to happen.
Honestly, this is embarrassing.
Hey, Tony, did you just realize that? He said he was.
Oh, I know. I know exactly what happened. He's on Tom Coughlin time.
We get it, Pete.
We live by the actual, like, the
real time.
Real time the rest of the world goes by on this radio show.
So and, Tad's one of the many in the building that are scared of Tom.
And Joe, if you ever, Joe, if you ever allow that to happen again, I will punch you right in the throat.
Wow, that's aggressive.
You can't reach that high.
No, that makes no sense. I'm taller than you, Joe. Try again.
All right, so 7 points on the board. Fournette right, rips off the 75-yarder to tie.
Back and forth. The next special teams opportunity where we have a mistake is we shank a punt 16 yards. And they get a field goal without getting a first down. The first two punts by Brad Nortman were a 16-yarder and a 28-yarder. On a team where you talk about playing great defense, running the ball, and smart special teams, which means controlling the field position or winning the field position battle, that does not happen. Okay, they get 3. We score 14. They score 17-14. It's back and forth, very close game. You're backed up. They have a punt rush on, 4 side. It's very easy. You count from outside to in. Corey Grant has number 4 away from where the center's going. He's going weak. Is the A-gap front side sitting right there. And for whatever reason, he decides to go weak, go away from his gap responsibility and his man responsibility. And Corey Littleton comes unblocked, straight up the gut to block it, recover it for a touchdown. Mm. 17 points. And I don't know what the percentage is, but I believe it's probably below 1% as far as the chances of winning if you give up 2 special teams touchdowns in a game. Maybe it's never happened.
And then percentages probably go up a little more to like almost 100% when you have no passing game.
Well, we'll get into that later, Pete, but I'm not going to disagree with you. So it's too much to overcome. The defense, and I got one bone to pick with the defense, and we'll do that later. But the defense gave up 250 total yards, or actually 249, I believe it is, and 13 points. You should win every week in the NFL if that's how your defense plays. It's very disappointing. Almost as disappointing as Tad Dickman coming in on the show.
That's who they are, though, Tony. That's who they are. When they're not a team that can overcome any kind of mistakes. But I mean, that was a disaster.
Yeah, in fairness, so how many teams in this league are going to overcome 14 points given up by your special teams?
Some would at home if they had a legitimate passing game.
Not much.
On the road, it's tough to do.
Not much.
No, there's not many. But
Patriots could do it.
Patriots barely beat the Jets, so let's not get too carried away with the Patriots right now.
Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, I mean, it happens, but you're right. It was a disastrous situation. There's no question about it. And the worst thing about that is Joe DeCamillis is a good special teams coach.
Well, those aren't those aren't
coaching decisions.
No.
Those are
player execution.
Player mistakes. Correct.
I don't know how it is now, but I know this. When I played for the Vice President of Football Operations, who used to be Coach Coughlin.
No, he's still coach.
Those guys would be – the turnover would be high if on the bottom of the roster if the special teams weren't performing. We'll see what happens.
Well, the turnover would be immediate. The turnover would be immediate with the kicker.
Well, then maybe it happens, Pete, because, I mean, Tom's –
they've already tried out guys twice, right?
Yeah, but there's too many good kickers around to hold on to one that you have no belief in. None. And think about this. When he lines up for a field goal, Tony, honestly, how much confidence do you have in him that he's banging that field goal home?
What's the distance?
Between 40 and 50.
75%.
And a good kicker would be what?
85-90.
Yeah. So there it's just –
I'll be honest with you. I'm watching every extra point too now.
Everyone. It's a coin toss for me whether he makes extra point.
And that
– I got a pit in my stomach every time we line up for one.
Right. So that there tells you what they should do. And we've heard all along he had the big leg. Well, it doesn't matter if you can't put it between the uprights.
Well, the big leg has not made a 50-yarder this year. Not even
Which
close.
Goes back to the end of the game and why that was the weird strategy in itself.
Right.
I mean,
and we agree with that. I mean, you and I agree on that one, Pete. I got a headache already today.
You're going to be a Captain Sunshine today.
Well,
aren't
it started
you?
With the special team conversation. Then I got my good friend Tad Dickman interrupting the show for no apparent reason.
Just wait until we start talking about
it. Probably
offense.
Started with your buddy Jeff Kopp giving your team a beating, right?
That did not help my weekend. But the Trojans won, the Wolfpack won, and the Seminoles won, so that was good.
Let's get back into it in a moment. We'll continue to give you this headache with the offensive.
Oh, it's already there.
The offensive discussion will begin. The quarterback play, the wide receivers, the tight ends. Everybody but Fournette, where are they on this offense?
Chris Ivory played well.
He did in the passing game. Yeah, he was the leading receiver. Which tells you a little bit about
got two good backs
where they are. Coming up at Daly's Place, the Massage Envy Concert Series continues with Colt Ford Saturday, November 4th. That's the night before the Bengals game at Everbank Field. Call 633-2000 or visit daly'splace.com. Your calls in the second hour. We'll get the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. He'll put it out there momentarily on...
Yeah, just send me something. Make sure it's not dumb tonight. I'm no mood for dumb questions.
More with Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I look at it as a team, you know, what we have to do. I mean, we ran the football well. You know, I thought that he made some really good decisions. He ran the ball. I thought he put some couple of good throws out there that we wanted to take advantage of. And then, you know, obviously you're going to have some tough throws. So, you know, I think it's tough and, you know, evaluate it when it's people, you know, around him or in his face and evaluate it when it's a clean pocket. So, you know, we'll just keep pushing forward.
Doug Marrone in the post-game media scrum last night when asked about his confidence in quarterback Blake Bortles. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco after the Jags fall to the Los Angeles Rams.
So let me make some global comments, and then we can get into the specifics.
Global.
Because I know it's going to go, when I say global, high level, macro, because it's going to go down to the Blake Bortles conversation. That's where this is going tonight, and I understand that, and that's fine. The Los Angeles Rams, after the first play that we broke for 75 yards by Leonard Fournette, which was blocked, I mean, no one touched him. No one was close to him. It was a great job up front. The Rams went to something I've never seen before in the NFL.
Never.
Well, I haven't. I'm sure it's been done. I can't remember it happening outside of a four-minute situation or goal line. When we were in 21 personnel, two tight ends, I mean, one tight end, two backs, two wide receivers, and sometimes 12, which is one back, two tight ends, two receivers, they would go into a 4-4-3 defense. Four defensive linemen, four linebackers, and three secondary. When we were going to 11 personnel, which typically teams will match with nickel, five defensive backs, they would be in base personnel. Three down linemen, four linebackers, four defensive backs. What that tells you is, and at times, they would run in first and second down when we had the two backs, one tight end, and two receivers, zero coverage, meaning they had no safety. They would have everyone at the line of scrimmage and just two corners playing coverage. Most of the times they'd have the two corners and one safety and then four linebackers. They basically came into this game and said, we don't think you can beat us with the pass. We are going to do everything we can to stop the run. The running numbers were, you know, I think they had over 165, 170. What'd they have? What do we have on the day, JP?
Running numbers, stand by. Stand by.
Leonard Fournette had 138 yards. I know that one.
Rushing numbers, 169 to 142, Jags.
Leonard Fournette had 138. 93 of those came on two carries. The other 19 carries amounted for 45 yards, which is under 2.5 yards per carry. So they did, outside of two carries, a really good job of shutting down the run. Blake had one long run on a naked bootleg. So it's 130, not 138, excuse me.
Right.
So they had, on 19 carries, they had 37 yards, which is less than 2 yards a carry. It is going to be very difficult to win football games, and it's going to be very difficult unless you break long runs, which they did, to run the ball if teams have zero respect for you throwing the ball. And when they show you zero respect, you can't take advantage of it. And we couldn't take advantage of very pass-friendly situations yesterday.
Well, that's how I would play them every single week. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Well, it's so easy to defend. That offense is easy to defend. It's easy to point to Blake, and we'll get to him, like you said, in a second. But they run the same routes all the time, Tony. They line up and run ISO routes. They run crossers. They never pick. They never rub. They never bunch. They never do anything. There's no creativity from the way they run the routes. And I'm going to give you an example about Green Bay Packers. I a couple years ago when they were struggling, I went back and I did a piece on their offense. And one of the things I said is I counted the number of times that they picked rub receivers in a game. Because remember they were struggling there when Jordy Nelson was out and they couldn't get guys open? Well, you know what? In one game, they did it twice the entire game. Twice. And one of those actually produced a big play. And somebody said to me, somebody in Green Bay said, well, that's what our offense is, ISO routes. That's what we do. Well, if your receivers can't win consistently against man coverage or any coverage, then you got to adjust to it. This team needs to adjust what they do. They got to start winning. They got to start ways to scheme. They don't have guys who win. Marquise Lee's the only guy who can win. He's the only one.
But, Pete, have you ever seen a team play defense like that?
You know what that looked like? Something from when I was in high school.
Well, I thought that's what I said. It reminded me of a high school defense.
I mean, like when I was in high school, remember they used to have, it was the old 52 defense, remember? The 5-2?
Yeah.
And you know, that's what that is. That's a 52. It's a 3-4. It's a 5-2. And then they drop an extra player in the box. It's just, and you know what? That extra player made a couple of tackles in the run game down there.
A lot of them.
When they brought him down. Yeah, so I don't, they got to quit Because you're right, Tony. They had the one long run, and it looked like it was going to be one of those days where they kept getting them and getting them. And they ran the ball okay after that. Not great. Okay at times. But if you don't back people off, I don't care how good your running game is, it's not going to consistently stay that way. It just isn't.
You have to make plays in the passing game. And then beyond that, you can't make mistakes. And we had those as well with the interception. At a big moment of the game.
Was that a catchable ball in your
no,
mind?
No, it was not catchable.
I didn't think so either.
No, it was not.
Guys I work with thought he should have caught it.
No, it was way out in front of him. He barely got a fingertip on it. And the bad thing about it is he's not going to get the first down anyways.
Right.
And Marquise Lee is open on an in route at the first down at the sticks. They messed up the coverage. They ran with Hearns, and Marquise Lee is open, very open, on a dig past the first down marker.
Tony, late in the game, or I think I forget what it was, but did Marquise drop the ball? I couldn't tell from the TV tape in the middle of the field.
It was very close. It was hard to tell, even on the All-22, Pete. It was a contested ball. I blame Marquise Lee there. If it's going to be tight coverage like that, you can't allow the ball to get to your body and where they can knock it away. He should have reached his hands out to make that catch away from his body.
I actually thought that was a pretty good play by Blake and should have been a first down. I mean, that was one. He missed him on the sideline down the field on the one play early in the game. He should have hit him on that one. They had a shot there, and I think we're showing. I don't know. This isn't the one I'm talking about. This is the one where it's contested.
Well, that's a bad. I mean, it's actually pass interference. He's getting just draped on, but because the ball is thrown so far out in front of him, it looks like he's diving. If that ball is thrown more into his body, I think they call the pass interference.
And he got hooked on a crosser earlier in the game that didn't get called too.
Right before the blocked punt, by the way.
That's right. But I wonder how many times. But they listen. Colvin got away with. I mean, Tashawn Gibson got away with a hold of their tight end as well. I mean, that happens in a game. I wonder if you get more calls, Pete, when officials. I mean, they're human. Believe you have a good passing attack.
Yes,
I think you do.
Yeah, like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and gang, they get more calls because your perception is, oh, this guy, the ball's there. It's always going to be there. So if the guy's draped over him like you just saw, they're going to get that call. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I believe that too. So from just the global or macro, the high level is you – and I said it last week, JP. It's not sustainable running it 18 straight times, expecting your defense to score twice and get five turnovers. It's not a pace you can keep up. And now, the flip side of that, the argument that some people might be saying is, well, if they played good special teams, they would have won the game. Technically, you're right.
That's true.
And that is right. That's true. I still say it is going to be really hard to win games consistently if you don't get something out of the passing attack.
Because you can't count on everything going right all the time. You just can't. And yesterday was a complete disaster from this. But let's just say it was one or the other. It still, you know, puts him in a game where anything else happens, you're in the game. You know what I mean? When you play that style of football, the margin for error is so small.
Yeah, just like you're not going to count on the special teams being that bad, I don't think you can also count on 75-yard runs every week where you're going to get those chunk yardage like that. Right now, this team has not won a football game where its defense has not scored.
Yeah, think about that. Yeah.
Tony, they made a touchdown on the screen play, which was a nice play. On nice design, made a nice play. He took the depth and lobbed it over the top of the guy and everything. But once you get one, do you got to come back and run 18 of them the rest of the game?
I thought we probably went back to the well a few too many times in the screen game in the first half. I would agree with that, Pete.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about, the offense. It's almost like, okay, if you can't trust him at all, then don't play him.
I don't think there's a lot of trust. I don't know that, and I only say that from what I've seen, because if I was on the sidelines and I looked out there and they're playing a goal line defense or they're playing regular personnel against our 11 package, I am dropping back and I am making them pay because the advantage should be towards us.
no matter what.
It should be. Now, I'm not in the practice. I'm not at the practice field. I'm not in the meetings. Maybe they don't think not only – maybe it's not just the confidence in Blake. Maybe it's the confidence in the wide receivers. And, in fairness, Blake got hit a lot in that game.
5 sacks, right?
And he got hit a lot more than that.
Hit more, yes.
Some of it was Blake, though. He is really jumping in the pocket right now. He's moving around a lot. Instead of just sliding a little bit to buy time, I mean,
he's getting out of there. He's trying to get out.
Not even just getting out of there, Pete. He slides and keeps on sliding. And yeah, he's throwing
but
off.
A couple times he looked like he was trying to get out and he couldn't get out and he stepped into stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't smooth at all in the pocket yesterday. But again, I go back. I'm always going to say this because I think I don't think he's very good, but he's clearly better when he's allowed to do some things.
I disagree, Pete. Give me evidence where you say he's better when he's given things. Because last year when we tried to open it up, it was a pick fest.
Well, you're not winning games anyways. You sit there and you say, everybody can sit there and say, hey, he turned the ball over once. He's not losing the game for him.
But in fairness, now, I would disagree with you, and I'll bring the facts on my side. They've won 3 games this year, and they won 3 all of last year. So,
right.
Something
they won it with great defense, Tony. They didn't win it with any offense.
That's my point. They basically said, we're going to run the ball, 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 run the ball. Play good special teams, which we did yesterday, and play great defense. And
that'll get them this. That'll get their 6-7 wins. That's what's going to get them.
With this schedule, it might get them 8. It might get them 8.
Let's come back. We'll continue the quarterback discussion. We'll flip it over to defense as well. They might have gotten hosed on that call on the fumble. It was returned almost for a touchdown.
There was a guy there, JP.
Stop.
He would have taken it to the house, guys. What are you talking about?
Oh, stop it, JP.
He was down the sideline wide open.
I'm not even that positive.
Would have changed the game.
You're nuts.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
You know, when you look at his past years, being, you know, obviously an excellent line coach, you know, he's always been very successful, very tough. Now, he might not have gotten the numbers, you know what I'm saying, that maybe he has this early, you know, but I think that's coming from a lot from the whole team, you know, the other guys up front, and then obviously the coverage aspect of things, you know, being able to cover on the back end and making a quarterback hold the ball. So I think that's why he's getting the production.
Doug Marrone discussing Calais Campbell's early output here in 2017. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. We'll continue the quarterback discussion throughout the night. We've got a whole hour and 35 minutes, 25 minutes to go.
Yeah, not an hour and 35 minutes. I'll be gone.
Yeah, we'll get it in before you leave, though. Trust us. Defense.
Him and all his anger will be gone by then, JP.
That's right. He's out of here after that. Hey, you know what? There was the key takeaway, the fumble forced by Talvin Smith. You guys don't think it would have been a score, but he was up the sideline there. Either way, it would have advanced it.
Everyone else stopped, JP.
They might have scored a touchdown.
You can't say.
They got points
JP,
out of it.
There was a guy over. If you look at it close, he's standing over right over there.
Aaron Colvin might have juked him. You never know.
And by the way, Jalen Ramsey stopped again more so than anybody, if you notice it. Somebody's got to tell him to pay attention and play through stuff.
All right, I'll pass that along. But, yeah, everyone stopped. The whistle blew. It was a bad call. The officials blew it it wasn't even close. It was a fumble all the way. They blew it. But we got the ball. I had an opportunity, a short field. You're at the 50. You got to get at least 3, which they did.
They did.
You'd like to get 7.
Mm-hmm. Just made it a one-score game.
So pass it along, Tony, because if they had touched down the, you know, Bilal Powell, they'd be 4-2 instead of 3-3.
There's a lot of ifs and buts. And candy and nuts, mm-hmm. and all that kind of good stuff. The defense is playing. I'll give you my thoughts on the defense. They're playing great football. Here's my criticism of them.
Oh,
I know where you're going with this. By the way,
you want to be elite, and you want to be considered one of the great defenses in this league. Which you talk to offensive coordinators and you talk to coaches around the league. They're very impressed with this unit. They're playing really good football. However, your offense is what it is, and it's an ugly game. And they're struggling. 7:25 left in the fourth quarter. The Rams get the ball back on their own 31. And my expectation there is you get a three and out and you get the ball back. And you give your offense at least one more opportunity, if not two, to tie the game up and go into overtime. What happened was the Rams controlled the clock for 5 minutes, ran it down their throats, had two big third down pickups. The biggest one was the one to Cooper Kupp. Is that his name? Yeah, Cooper Kupp.
Yes, it is.
On
third down, right?
Third and six basic route. He beats, which is an in route from the slot receiver. He beats Colvin. Great protection by the offensive line. Gave Goff a ton of a clean pocket and a ton of time to find Kupp down the field. You can't let that happen. And it started off by Gurley going for six, and then he got another six, gets the first down, and they just kept on running it and running it and running it. And then the third and six, when they had to get the pass, they got the pass. It can't happen. You have to get them off the field there. The Jaguars' offense should have got the ball back around the 20, their own 20, with about 4.5 minutes left or 5 minutes.
Gurley ran eight times for 33 yards on that drive.
Can't have it. It's over 4 yards of carry. You cannot have that happen in that situation. And I do not think that our interior defensive line played great on first and second down against the run. I thought we got pushed around. I thought our gap control was not good. They had a ton of cutbacks on the inside zone. And they ran it very well. He averaged 5 yards of carry. Gurley's a good back. But this defense has shown the propensity to give up some rushing yards.
Tony,
with that said, overall they played well enough to win. I'm not. I mean, this is not on them at all.
No, but you can.
You got to get a stop there. You got to get a three and out, and you have to give your offense. You are. Here's the thing. This defense, and I think they love it. I think they own it. They are the back. They are the everything of this football team. Without this defense, this team is not good. Right now, this team is a really good defense, a really good running game, a solid offensive line. That's what they are. So those groups have to play at a high level every week, led by the defense. They have to set the tone. They have to end the tone. They have to do everything with the tone. They are
the
tone.
I'll be honest with you. Tony, I'll be honest with you, though. I didn't like the third down call when Kupp made the catch. They only rushed three.
Yeah, they dropped Malik into coverage.
I don't like that at all.
Fair enough.
That's overthinking it. You're overthinking it.
Instead of just coming after him?
Yeah. Go after him.
Hit him. Force the young quarterback to make a quick decision.
Correct. And you saw the way that route developed on the TV. At least on the TV it looked that way. Like he had a lot of time. He came back inside the middle and it was wide open over there. I would have come after him a little bit on that situation. At least brought the fourth guy. I wouldn't have dropped eight and let him survey the field. There wasn't anybody near him.
I can't disagree with that. It's hard for me to be too critical of Todd Wash the way he's called it this year, though.
No, he's done a really good job.
Really good job.
But I think they're getting into a situation, though, and this is just me, where they had those 10 sacks in the game. Calais Campbell and Ngakoue continually get pressure on the quarterback. But sometimes you got to bring a little more heat.
Well,
and
I don't, whatever, bring the heat. I don't care
don't
what you
think they
get
have
off
to
the field when you they kicked it away. 7:25. They can't be the end of the game right there. The game ended.
It went from 7:40 to 2:36.
The game was over.
But don't you think they have the corners to play lockup man over on the outside?
Yes.
And they don't do that enough in my book. You know, and I know that's – I mean, they play off man. And I'm talking about get up and play press man and go after them.
They do quite a bit, but I understand what you're saying.
Not as much as I would do is – you know, remember when Deion back in the day, Deion did it every play. I think they're good enough on the corner where they can do more of that and go hit them more, go after them more. Don't you?
In that situation, I would have been more aggressive, yes. But, again, I'm not going to be overly critical because – I thought the defensive had a good game plan. I thought, they held them under 250 yards, 13 points. I thought they executed the game plan well. I just don't think the interior of the defensive line played very good on first and second down. And I think if you want to be the best and you want to pound your chests and say, we are you know, this is who we are, and you want nicknames and people to name your secondary, and you want all these things, which I'm fine with. I love it. I love the swag. I love the attitude. But when it's 7:20, 7:40 left in the game, and it's first down for your opponent, and you're the backbone of this team, you get a 3-and-out there. You get them
when you
off
come
the field.
Back, I know we got to go to break. When you come back, I want you to name the guys who aren't playing well in the interior.
Mm, yeah.
That's fine. No problem.
Did you say chestas, by the way? When you pound your chestas?
I don't know,
plural?
Maybe.
That was the incorrect plural.
He did. Did he go chestas? Did he go chestas on
us? I don't think I said you have to pound your chest.
Yeah, that's what you said, though.
Yeah, I do, I think.
It's like sports coaches. Sports coaches. Sports coaches. Sport coats. Play sport coats. Sports coats.
Sport coats. Game Day Express features
JP,
two down locations.
Be really careful, because if you want to start critiquing everything that is said.
I'm trying to read it right
you
now.
You want to make sure, because we can do this.
I know.
We can go back to the Alabama-Arkansas game and check that out as well.
We might. The JTA Game Day Express.
Why'd you find something for me?
Features two downtown locations, along with rides from the north side, JTV and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at JTAFLA.com. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
So I think we're first in the AFC South. We're 3-3. We're doing a lot better than we did last year. You know, we're in the right direction. But, you know, all that's cool. But we're looking at what we did yesterday. You know, all we control is what's in front of us. And looking back on yesterday, we didn't do what we wanted to do. So all that stuff is nice and cool. But it's about winning the games in front of you. And we didn't do that last week. So that's what we're focusing on.
Malik Jackson, defensive lineman for the Jags, in the locker room today, the day after the Jags fell to the Los Angeles Rams, 27-17. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. Your calls coming up in the second hour, 355-NFL1. Pro Football Focus grades. Tony Buscelli, Twitter question of the night. We're jam-packed this evening. We're going back to our conversation last segment about the defensive line. Tony, you said that some of the guys in the middle on first and second down up front are not playing at a high level.
No, I didn't say they're not playing at a high level. I said they didn't have a great game.
They didn't have a great game.
Yeah, no, that's not fair. I mean, they're a good unit. But
last week, yesterday,
giving up five yards of carry to Todd Gurley in some key situations, you know, you're going to give up some yardage. That's fine. But
who are they?
I thought I don't think Avery Jones had a great game. I thought he got pushed around a little bit. They doubled him really well. He got him back up into the lap of the linebacker, and it made it hard for the linebackers to read at times, I think, because he was getting pushed back too far. And I thought the three techniques, Malik Jackson, he had some fabulous plays. Tackles for losses, I mean, big-time plays on third and shorts, I mean, jetting inside. And then other times he was just, I thought he got washed too far, too many gaps, and wasn't great, especially on the backside when they were in that zone. They double him up to the linebacker. He's getting washed too much down the line of scrimmage, giving up too much horizontal movement and creating huge seams in the backside that Todd Gurley was hitting. And then I don't think Sheldon Day did a great job either. He didn't make any real big plays. So Malik was either really, really good or off a little bit. But I thought Avery and then Ely Ankou, the other nose guard, didn't do great. Neither nose guard, I don't think, had great games. And I thought Sheldon Day got pushed around a little too much on the backside.
What do you say, Pete? Pete is not there.
Oh, good. Pete left. It's perfect.
Well, I'm here.
Oh, they are? Oh.
I don't think Avery Jones has been as good this year as he was a year ago.
I don't either.
After he got his contract. And that's been a problem for them this year, I think. Malik Jackson, up until this week, and you mentioned he had some nice splash plays, but you're right, he gets blocked too much. I don't think he's been the same guy. And I thought last week, I told you, I think he's playing hurt. I don't know if he is or not, but he looks like he is.
Well, he's been on the report with the same groin issue.
Yeah, he's been on the – and maybe that's it. Maybe it's the groin that is hampering a little bit. And
did
I'm
he
not
get
sure.
too light, Tony? He looks leaner, and he lost some weight in the offseason. I guess he's down and playing weight a little bit. Did he get too light?
Maybe. I don't know what his weight was last year compared to this year, Pete, so I don't have those numbers right in front of me. I thought they just weren't stout enough.
No, and you're right. They got out on the linebackers and made it real tough on those guys to go make plays. And Gagwe didn't have a great game against the run either.
Oh, he was fine. He held the point, and he was very good in the pass. God, he gave Whitworth.
He was good in the pass.
He gave Whitworth,
yeah, Whitworth
all
is a good tackle.
He wanted yep. and more.
Yeah, and Whitworth is a good player.
He is a good player.
That was a good showing by Ngakoue. He did a nice job.
Yeah, I thought so too. So we got to shore that up. Too many. I mean, look at the games this year where they lost. They lost to the Titans, who ran the ball very effectively, especially in that third and fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Jets, who had a ton of yards and two huge plays that made up most of them, mm-hmm. or three plays. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the Rams and got after them pretty good in the run game. Now, in this last game, they still should have won if they get anything out of special teams because they held them to enough points. So that's why I'm curious. I mean, I think you can still correct even after a good effort and you do some good things. I think that's important. I think that's what really good teams do. And I think the interior, the ones and the threes, need to be a little bit more stout against the run.
Tony, it seems to me like you, like when they had did a pretty good job on Bell last week. I know he only had 15 carries. But he has a tendency to tap dance a little bit before he puts his foot in the ground and goes. It seems like Gurley and the Rams almost took advantage a little bit of their ability to flow one way and come back the other way.
Yeah, they were running inside zone.
Right. And so are those the kind of runs that are going to give them problems this year?
Not if you have good sound technique, no. You can't get washed at the nose. You can't be getting scooped and pushed back into the lap of the linebackers. And the backside three has got to do a better job of maintaining gap control. No, they'll be fine. I mean, it should not be an issue. It is right now.
Miles Jack didn't look like he had a very good game either.
I think on the backside, both him and Telvin had some plays that they probably could do better. But I also think some of it is if you're getting linebackers pushed up into the next level, it's hard to make decisions. So I think it's a little bit of both. But, yes, I think there was some plays that they could have done a better job.
Second hour, right around the corner, the Pro Football Focus grades. So, Pete, I know you'll have those ready to roll, right?
I will, and Tony will get angry, but that's okay.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't really care what they say today.
That's nice.
They lost.
They can say anything when you lose, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Get the special teams Pro Football Focus grades.
F.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Twitter question of the night still to come. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I like this football team. I like the way they worked. I like the way that they communicate with each other. You know, and the one thing is I just want to, and I told this to the team, you know, just create a greater focus, you know, each and every down, you know, when the ball gets down, and, you know, make sure that we're focused in, because we never know what play it's going to be that, you know, could possibly change the game, and try to take it the other way and say, hey, listen, put the ball down. This is a play that I'm going to have an opportunity to change the game for our team. I have no problems. You know, there's sometimes you work through in your first year as a coach and you're working through a team and, you know, you're just like, man, I just got to get through this year, you know what I'm saying, and work and the discipline and the culture and what you want to get done. But I haven't had any of those issues with the players. We're just working on ourselves to keep working and get better.
Doug Marrone today is day after press conference. After the Jags fell to the Los Angeles Rams, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday, hour number two, phone lines open. 355-NFL1, Twitter question of the night for Tony coming up. And Pro Football Focus grades. Quick question before we get to all that. You know, we're talking defense. If you had, Pete, a leading candidate in the league for Defensive Player of the Year, I know it's six games in, would Calais be in that conversation?
Yes. Will he win it? No. But he's in the conversation.
What if he has 16 or 17 sacks this year?
Well, he's in the conversation. Was he the best defensive player on the field yesterday?
To make an argument, Telvin was good too, though.
I would say he is.
I'm not talking about their team.
I was going to say he's been the most valuable player on the defense this year for the Jaguars.
Correct, but Aaron Donald was the best player on the field yesterday.
In the second half, he didn't have a tackle in the first half.
I know, but he's the best player on the field.
Well, I'm just saying.
And I mean, Calais
had two sacks. Aaron Donald had one. Calais was more disruptive than Aaron Donald yesterday.
But in the second half, Donald, you saw what Donald can do. He's the better player.
Pete, based on what I saw yesterday, Calais had more impact. I'm not saying
he had two sacks to one. See, yeah. I would agree with you.
No, Aaron Donald is the best three technique, or it's either him or Geno Atkins. Aaron Donald's outstanding, so I'm not going to say
I think he's better than Geno Atkins, and I think Geno's very good, by the way.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I mean, but right now, as far as defensive
linemen, it's taken him a little while.
Plays,
it's taken him a little
well
while to get. Yeah, I think it's taken him a little while to get comfortable in that new scheme, though. Don't you?
Well, he's still just playing the three technique. I mean, Wade Phillips has basically gone to an over and under.
Right, he's changed it. He doesn't play it like he used to.
Right, so he's playing that three technique. So I think it's pretty similar.
Like Bruce Smith was an end back in that day in that defense.
He
right?
played, it, yeah, he played up over the tackle.
Yeah.
Interesting thoughts. It's early, six games in, but a lot of football left to go.
Pete's right.
Calais is having a great year. He's by far and away the best free agent signing in the league this year. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Overall, I mean, it's hard to argue that Aaron Donald's not the better. I mean, I'll say it this way. Here's the best way to do it. If you did a draft right now of any deep, and you were saying all 32 teams going to pick any defensive lineman they want, Aaron Donald would go before Calais Campbell.
All right, take it one step further. You could pick You could pick any defensive player in the league you want.
Ooh. I think Jalen will go first because just corners, I think, in today's football.
I disagree. I think Von Miller would go first.
Oh, I was just picking the two teams that played yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, Donald will go first, then
really?
Jalen.
You think?
Then Jalen. Yeah, I do. I think he's that good, Tony. I think he should have been the defensive player of the year last year.
All right.
All right, Pete.
But to take it one step further, asking the question, if you could have one defensive player in the league with the first pick, who would you take?
I haven't seen Von Miller play this year. Is he dominant as usual?
Yeah, he's still Von Miller.
I would take any defensive player in the league. I'd take Jalen Ramsey.
Wow.
Those teal-colored glasses he's wearing.
They really are, aren't they?
Lockdown corner.
Don't get me wrong, and he's young. He's in the conversation. I think he's fantastic.
Take that, JP.
He's in the conversation. And you know what, Tony?
I take Von Miller, too.
If you ask him 50 NFL guys who picked the best defensive player, if you had your choice of the number one pick of any defensive player in the league, I don't think any of them would go 10 deep and pick Jalen Ramsey. I really don't. Do you?
No. I think he's fabulous.
I do, too. I would make him more fabulous if I was the defensive coordinator by pressing him more.
Oh, gosh. Pete's not only GM, but he's defense coordinator.
I'm all of the above, Tony.
I know, Pete.
I'm all of the above.
You know everything.
Thank you.
Let's do these PFF grades. Let's
go. Pro Football Focus grades each game off the TV tape, apparently. And each week we go through them to irritate Tony.
It's so easy to grade tape off of the TV copy, especially for the offensive line and the defensive backs.
Well, I think it's easy to say what the offensive line did yesterday. You don't need to grade every play. But three guys in the green on the offense. Three.
Well, let's back up to the offensive line because they didn't play terrible. They're blocking uphill all day long and had 168 yards rushing.
Yeah, but you got to take 75 of it out. I mean, that's
they blocked on that play.
Why do you?
Okay, the rest of the game. So what was okay? Take the 75 out and tell me what the rest of the carry. What was the rest of the yardage?
90 something.
How many
change?
Yeah. How
93.
Many how many carries?
Probably 93. Probably
20.
No, not for net, for everybody.
For everybody.
Yeah, 26.
26. It's not terrible.
For 93, that's not awful, though.
Yeah.
25 for 93.
Against a 4-4, by the way, Pete. I mean, come on. They did. Right now, they played. They need the pass blocking. Omame had some trouble with Aaron Donald, and I was worried about that matchup. I thought A.J. Cann did a nice job against Aaron Donald. I thought the right tackle played well. And I thought Cam allowed Robert Quinn to get on the edge a couple times.
The grade. You ready?
The left guard had some trouble IDing the pickup on a blitz as well that led to a sack. So I think Omame probably had the roughest day of the group, and I thought Shatley struggled at times. They did some schemes where they had Donald head up on him and ran some stunts and some twist games that he got caught on different levels, and that was a problem.
Okay, lowest rated pass blocking grades. You ready?
Omame,
you were spot on.
Shatley,
second lowest pass grading. Chatley,
yep.
Spot on.
Third would
Cam
be Cam Robinson.
Third.
Parnell, fourth. AJ Cam, fifth.
They had Parnell slightly above.
Yeah, I thought the right side played well, by the way. But
in pass protection, they're all in the negative for the game, all of them.
Yeah, I would disagree with that. I'm not sure,
Tony, they gave AJ Can a big minus in the run game, and they gave Parnell a minus in the run game.
I guess rushing for 168 yards into a 8-9 man front is not good enough. So,
right. There's your first.
They're goofy.
Okay, the guys in the green are Marquise Lee.
Thought Marquise Lee had a nice game.
Leonard Fournette.
I thought he missed a big run, big opportunity on a toss crack where they pull Cam Robinson, and for whatever reason he doesn't follow Cam. Marquise has outside leverage on the guy because thinking the ball's going to go outside, and for whatever reason Leonard decides to try to cut it up in and gets tripped up by the guy that Marquise Lee was blocking. If he keeps it outside, it's a 20, 30-yard run.
And Chris Ivory got positive grades.
Chris Ivory played very well.
Okay, let's go to the defense.
What was Blake's grade?
Red. It was I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was minus, and it was minus 2.2, and his passing grade was minus 2.8. So that's pretty bad.
What was the lowest negative?
In the whole offense?
Yeah.
Omame.
And what
you
was
agree
that?
With that?
What was it?
Minus 3.2, and Chatley was minus 3.1.
I don't even know what that means. Like minus.
Yeah, why are you asking?
I don't either.
I'm curious.
All right, defense. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys into positive on defense.
Calais?
Yes.
Ngakoue?
No.
Telvin?
Pass rush, yes. Run game, no. So they agree with me that he had trouble in the run game, but... You saw the TV tape. I didn't, neither did they, obviously.
Telvin.
I mean, the 22 tape. Telvin, positive, correct.
Jalen Ramsey.
Right on the even, so not really either. They didn't really do much with him.
Like, nothing.
Yeah, they didn't even throw
it. Threw it one time at him.
Malik was in the positive. Malik is positive, Tony.
Well, he made some big splash plays, so they probably take that.
Church was positive, Gibson was positive, and Boye were positive. Sheldon Day and Anku were both big negatives, like you said. Posluszny and Jack was the biggest negative on defense.
Interesting.
They gave him a bad grade in run defense, Tony. Bad.
Well,
the lowest grade of anybody on defense was Miles Jack in run defense.
What about
I thought he missed some plays yesterday.
What about Avery?
Avery was minus as well. Minus almost 1-1. So they were pretty good this week with their grades. With you kind of evened out on them. You thought the right side of the offensive line played better than that than what they did, and you thought
Pete, don't take
guys
this as, please don't take my lack of getting involved too much as a signing off on those grades. It's me just saying I don't really want to talk about it.
Tony, Dante Fowler only played 21 snaps yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't play a lot. I have no idea. Ngakoue got most of the reps. No, they ran the ball quite a bit. They had a lot of 21 personnel. So Ngakoue is going to be the starting end in that situation. Fowler is the backup, and he starts on nickel. But I didn't track the exact percentage, but watching the game, I had the feeling they played a lot less 11. They played more 21 and 12 personnel than they did 11 personnel.
Tony, if they took Avery off the field in some early downs and played Campbell and Jackson inside, would that be not good? I mean, could they not get away with that?
So you're going to put Campbell at the nose?
Yeah, I mean. I wouldn't waste him there. So I get your point, but because I just don't think they have the. I think Fowler should play more than he does.
So you're going to put Fowler at the big end over the head up on the offensive tackle? No, that's where you want Calais.
I'll take that as a no, Pete.
Wow!
I left
him speechless.
Incredible.
No, he really didn't.
That's the first time ever. Like Pete not saying anything is like his mind just like went into like overdrive.
No, I was just thinking back to some of the old defenses, the way
like
they used
struggling.
to play.
He was struggling.
I mean, I'm just talking out loud here because they're playing good defense. But
Well, you know, well, I'm glad you're talking out loud because we're on radio.
Thinking out loud, you know what I mean.
Much better than talking silently. Although some people listening might like you to talk silently.
They'd like you to shut up once in a while because you've had diarrhea of the mouth today.
What? What are you talking about?
You took over the show. It's the Tony Baselli show today.
Well, that's what they want to hear from me, not you.
They really don't because they're too positive.
Listen, you're a complimentary piece. You and JP are complimentary pieces to the star.
Mr. Baselli,
you know what the scary thing is? JP actually believes that.
I know. Mr. Baselli,
he doesn't realize
like
how good the show was the week he was in London.
It was fantastic. What a show it was. Mr. Baselli, would you like to do the Twitter question of the night now for
you? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
let's
what else would you like? You want some bread with that?
No, I can get a drink. Can I get a coffee?
This is the Tony Baselli Twitter question.
Hey, Max, will you give me a coffee?
Of the night from Kane's Jag. Why do you think the pass game is not working when they have 8+ in the box?
I think it's a lot of reasons. I think one is not winning enough, not creating enough separation. Now, I think people tell it. I mean, it can be route design. Sometimes great quarterbacks throw you open when you have tight coverage. And then I also think that the quarterback's struggling. I don't think the quarterback's had a great year. He had the nice game against Baltimore. I don't think his mechanics were great. I think his footwork was really poor. That leads to inaccuracy. Like Doug said, does he make some nice throws? Yes. But I don't think the consistency's there. And because of that, and the last thing is the trust. Because any time in this league a team goes to a heavy run box to stop the run, offensive coordinators will say, fine, if you're going to open it up for the pass, then we're going to throw it, and we're going to get that guy out of the box. And we can't do that right now. And so I think it's a number of things. I think it's the confidence. I think it's receivers have to do a better job of winning outside. If you want to add route design and concepts there, I'm not going to get too specific on that. And then I just don't think the quarterback's playing consistently. And I think a lot of it is I think he's been hit a little bit. I think that started to affect him in the pocket. He's a little bit all over the place. And his footwork is not good at all.
You know what? I think design has to change too. I'm big on that. But you're right, Tony. You're spot on that. But you know what play I liked for me? Okay, it's a simple play, but I liked it. The play before the half to Shaughnessy.
I thought that was great strategy.
The way they made it look like he was blocking, he kind of delayed a second.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I thought it was a big mistake by Sean McVay not using a timeout there and forcing the Jaguars to punt. The Jaguars sat there and let the clock run down to 9 seconds said, fine, we'll just run one last play. If we don't get the first down, they're going to get it with about 2 seconds left, and we'll take our chances against the Hail Mary. If we get the first down, we have a chance to kick a long field goal, which we missed, but I thought the strategy was good.
They had the chance.
But I'm talking about the play itself, though, the way he delayed, he was going to block, and then he came across the formation. He was wide open. They need to do more stuff like that. They just don't do enough. They're not creative.
Pete, that was so open because they're in such soft coverage, not wanting to get beat.
I get it.
So it changes.
I get it. But
obviously,
they gotta get more creative.
You don't if you say stuff like that. You don't get much tonight, Pete.
I get it all. You're just the hog. You got diarrhea of the mouth tonight. Tony Baselli show. Oh, by the way, Pete and JP are on it, too.
Yeah, that's about how it should be. You notice, though, Pete, when he gets trapped in a corner, he just starts throwing things out there.
Just throwing barbs
just
out
throwing
there.
No, I'm not trapped in a corner.
Like, he doesn't even
I get
sense.
It.
It was like last week when he didn't know what to say, he just started saying stuff. Like,
Tony, Pete. I get it. They were in a soft zone, but they're not creative at all.
You're dumb.
No, that's you, man. You're the one who screams at everybody, not me. I'm nice and calm.
I don't scream at anybody.
Because see why? It doesn't affect me, win or lose. You get under your skin. You're angry. You come in, you're all testy every Monday.
Not every Monday. I wasn't testy last Monday.
Just this Monday.
That one hurt. That's a game you should have won.
Hey, you know what's going to hurt? Phone calls. When we come back, 355-NFL1. The phone line.
Good luck.
Open.
Good luck, fans.
We'll discuss creativity, the quarterback, run defense, above.
Are the phone lines lit up?
They are.
Busy tonight?
They are.
Great. Hey, Max, go get me a coffee. I need some energy for this.
Oh, shut up, Tony. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Chadwick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday rolls along.
Before we get to the calls, I thought James, who's out at the front desk, does security for the building, for the stadium.
For you or for the building?
Building, stadium. Okay. I thought he had a great name of the show. He made a suggestion to rename Jaguars Monday.
To
the Baselli Show and his two lackeys.
Yeah, well, James is out of his mind.
Yeah.
The only reason he's saying that, Tony, is because you've talked so much today.
Oh. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be called the Baselli Show, but I thought "and the two lackeys" was a good description.
Is that a colon or a hyphen, or what's in the title of the show?
How I'm not sure.
Punctuated.
Not sure. He's a colon.
Thanks, Joe. Fortunato.
Remember?
Yes, he is. That's a good one, Joe.
Remember we had Harry Colon on the team, the safety, for a while?
Jeez.
You remember him? You didn't remember John Morton?
I remember Harry Colon.
You didn't remember John Morton, the peon on your team?
I remember John Morton. Stop it. Remember? Why are you shaking your head? That was his name, Harry Colon.
It was Harry Colon. He was a pretty good player, too.
He was a good safety.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines, please. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Before the break, we're talking about creativity. Let's go to Callahan and visit with Seth. You're on the air. Seth, what's up?
I cracked myself up.
Yo, what's up, guys? So, yeah, man, actually, it's funny how that evolved into what I was trying to talk about here. Creativity, man. I just want to see, when we got eight people in the box, I want to see Bortles be able to say, all right, you know what? We're in a single back, two tight end formation, eight people walking down into the box. Why can't we back off into the pistol? Why can't we back off into the gun? Why can't we bring one of the tight ends in for a fullback situation and still run it, but at least give the situation a look to see, oh, hey, maybe they're going to throw it. Maybe they're going to throw it. Maybe it's not a run. Why aren't we making the defense think a little? They're just sitting on their heels waiting for the run, you know?
Well, they're not on their heels. We'd like them on their heels. They're on their toes.
On their toes.
Ready to go. Two is when we got in passing formations, they still put regular people out there. I mean, they don't care. We can line up.
Right, okay, yeah. So they don't. You're exactly right. They don't care. They want a dare Bortles to throw it, right?
Yeah, that's right. But so it's changing the formation. Here's a perfect example. We ran a play out of 11 personnel and split out the tight end, thinking that Ogletree, the linebacker, would go carry the tight end like in most situations. They basically said, okay, we'll just keep him out there. We'll play cover zero, and we're going to keep Ogletree in the box. So the coaches are trying. The coaches are receivers
because we don't have Robinson in there. But at the same time, don't you have to try something different versus just sitting there
okay,
and saying,
great,
hey,
but
here, Fournette,
hold on,
get what
hold
you
on,
can.
Hold on, hold on. What would you like them to try different? Because I saw a lot of different formations. And if a team basically says, we don't care how you line up, we are not worried about you throwing the ball. We were worried about the run game. And until you prove us wrong, we're not changing. So what
absolutely
would you
like? I think that's fair point. But
what
like,
would you,
again,
no, hold on, stop,
I
stop,
Bortles
just stop, stop, stop for a second. Just stop. You keep on saying things, and then I kind of disagree with you, and you say, yeah, that's right. And then you keep on saying other things. So what is your point?
My point is that we're not seeing anything different on a weekly basis. Okay, you run the shotgun with one back. Oh man, you're really making them think.
Okay, so what would you like them to do?
I know they don't respect Bortles, but what I'm saying is at least try
like
to make Bortles audible.
Make him audible. What I don't understand what you're saying, because they know they're going to line up in a heavy run box, and they basically are saying, we are going to run into that because we don't have – the passing game's not working right now.
Yes. I mean, I can't disagree with that because that's exactly true.
The guy's making a good point, Tony.
Let's just try anything.
What's his point, Pete?
Let's put a pistol formation in. Let's put
two backs behind. You're saying just keep running into the concrete wall.
No, I'm not. I've said all night that they have to throw the ball, but just getting creative doesn't make it work. You have to execute. You have to block it up. You have to throw it. You have to be accurate. You have to make the right read. You have to win. That's not coaching. That is called execution.
Don't you think they should cross guys more?
They cross all day long. That's all they do, Pete. That's how
not crossing routes. I'm talking about cross players.
They did. They did.
Not many.
Yes, they on the key third down. He's open on a dig route. They did a little thing outside with him, and they crossed Marseille's loose underneath. You guys are nuts. I mean, you're nuts, honestly. You guys,
they do
the
it. They don't do it
you
enough,
know what?
Tony.
You're no different than the average person. You say, let's try this. Let's do this. You don't watch.
No,
you don't
I've been saying that all along, that they need to do more bunch and more crosses and more picks and more rubs. Did I not? Have I not said that all year?
You have said that all year, Pete.
Even though,
I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, fine. Move on. Or move out.
Let's go to St. John's. Dale's on the line. Run defense, I believe, Dale. What's up?
What is that? What is that sound?
Dale, you're on the air.
Yeah, you're on the air, Dale.
All right. Yeah, I want to say Tony Pacelli's right on.
Thank you.
Say the macro analysis of the game, the
thank
strategy,
you
know, stop the run. And I took my macro and micro
economics. Very
I mean,
good.
Go on those courses.
Thank you.
No, but I looked up the our run defense. Our defense is great, the secondary and the linebackers. But our, you know, as far as run defense stopping the run, our defense stopping the run is 31 out of 32, based on NFL stats. I looked up.
That's accurate.
And also the LA Rams are not much better. They were 29 out of 32, but.
That's
I mean,
accurate.
They knew just what you said, that if they and they pressured Blake Bortles a lot. I mean, I counted 1,001, 1,002, a couple of plays. He was being touched on the shoulder, and he had to run away at a couple of those plays. He didn't get sacked on one of those. But the strategy was perfect. I mean, it worked. And the way you said that offensive, I mean, that weird, what'd you say, there was four people or five people or three people or you never seen that before, but
right.
They were using that against us.
Yes,
to stop
very,
the run.
Very heavy personnel, big bodies, almost like a goal line in first and second down situations. That's right.
I see.
You have a question?
No, you were right.
Thank you.
You're right there.
I love calls when you say I'm right. But do you have a question?
He must be a Baselli relative or something.
Pete, shut up.
No, I'm not.
Let him answer
question.
What's your question? What's your question?
Hey, Andrew Baselli, thanks for the call.
The question was, I'm not. But the question was, could we have somehow changed? I'm not going to talk about the special teams or anything. Could we have changed our strategy somehow to change that? I don't know if it could have been done in the second half. You know, could we have done something to help our quarterback
do something? Okay. And I think James, the last caller, was trying to say something along those lines. And I would agree. I was a little bit of a
– Seth, not James,
Seth,
the last caller.
Whatever his name is. And I was a little ornery and probably didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. But whatever this last caller, Wes, is his name Wes?
It's Dale.
Dale.
From St. John's.
Dale from St. John's.
What's wrong with you?
out of the halftime, I said coming out of halftime, based on how they're going to play first and second down, I think you got to open it up and throw on early downs. Now, we didn't do it, which just tells me these are smart football coaches. And so when they see what I see, they're smart. They must not have confidence in the passing game that they feel like they can drop back and throw it and spread teams out and make them pay for putting that personnel on the field. That's the only thing I can figure, because I would agree with Seth and Dale, I think those are their names, that
well done.
At halftime, I would have come out and opened it up more.
But, Tony, you say they're smart football guys, and that's true. There's a lot of smart coaching. Would you say every coach in the league generally is a pretty smart?
No, I would not.
Well,
I think there's bad coaches.
I think there's bad coaches in
the NFL.
Yeah, I do too. And I think the design of the offense needs to be changed. And that's I've been saying it all along. If you thought they should open it up in the second half a little bit more, then you don't agree with what they did then.
What do you mean I don't agree with what they did? I said the whole broadcast yesterday, I'd throw it more on first down and I'd open up more. My whole point is I don't see Blake Bortles every day. I don't see these receivers every day. I don't watch the film and how they perform. I don't think they have the confidence, because I think they're smart football guys. I just think their conviction is this is the best way for this team to win. And it's hard to argue, because if they play average special teams, they win that football game yesterday.
Let's get another call. Let's go to Missouri. Trevor is on the line. Trevor, what's up?
Hello, guys. How you guys doing today?
Great. What's up?
Yeah, I know you guys have been kind of talking about this, but I was just kind of curious to know. I know it's a lot when Bortles is throwing the ball that he's checking it down a lot to the receivers. And I didn't know from your guys' opinion is, like, is he just doing that because he's being too conservative and he's afraid to, you know, give his receivers a chance, or are the receivers just maybe not getting open and he's being the smarter one to do the checkdowns? I didn't know what you guys thought about that.
Thanks for the call.
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, there's times when there's nothing else there, and so he takes the easy throw to get the ball out of his hands. There's times when it's pressure and he's forced to do it, and I think there's times when he misses guys. I know I'm trying to lumping it all in together, but I really do believe that. I don't think it's any one thing.
I agree. I would agree with you, Tony. I think a lot of times there's nothing there, but I also think he's a little reluctant to take his chances too. I mean, bottom line is they've and granted, he's brought it on himself by throwing the interceptions. You can't. I mean, he's a little bit gun shy, and understandably so. He did it to himself. He threw all those picks.
Pete, there was
easy
a lot.
To understand,
and I can't remember if we talked about it last week. And we must not have, because I think I'd remember what you would have said. Well, I think we talked about it briefly, but would you trade for Eli Manning?
Would I?
Yeah.
I'd consider it. Yeah, I would consider it. The only thing is, A, what are you giving up? And B, does that make them a contender in your mind? If you get Eli Manning, are you a contender? And I'm not just talking about the contender to win a division, because they're probably a contender to win the division as is, right?
They are currently a contender to win the division.
First place, last I checked. First place.
We're not going to talk
so
about
first. So would you make the deal,
first
Tony?
First place, Tony, in first place. Don't hide from the fact.
No, we're not going to talk about first place, because if we're 500 or under, we're not talking about first place.
They're in first
you
place.
Only get to talk about first place if you have a winning record.
They're literally in first place.
Would you make the deal?
It depends, obviously, what I have to give up.
A three and something next year.
No,
something else the following year.
I would not.
They'll want more than that, though, wouldn't they?
I don't know. I would.
You
not.
Wouldn't give up a three for Eli Manning?
Just a three, probably I would. But if I had to give three.
How about a three and a three?
No.
You would not?
I don't think so.
Oh, I would. I wouldn't. Because.
Well, part of the reason I wouldn't do it is because Eli's not going to want to come here.
Part of the other reason is it's not really a long-term answer. It's just stopgap.
Right.
There you have it.
But, would you give up a three? Let me ask you this. Would you give up a three for Eli Manning, a three and a three for Eli Manning, or two and something else like a five or a four or five or six for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Right now.
What would you do?
Garoppolo.
You would?
Yep.
Even though nobody's, other than a few games, he's really hadn't played that much, you'd still do that?
Yes.
Wow. I'd be more apt to go the other way.
What would you give up for Kirk Cousins?
Three? Two? You're going to have to pay him.
I think Kirk Cousins is really good.
I think he's okay. I mean, he's better than really good. I mean, just he's probably top 15 quarterback.
Kirk Cousins on this team, with this defense, this running attack, it would be a contender to make a playoff run in the AFC.
But see, is it a contender to win a Super Bowl?
You get the playoffs. And in today's football, Pete, tell me the good team.
Right, I'm with you. The league stinks.
And this defense if it can get a lead, and we've seen it, whenever it has a lead, it's dominant.
Yeah, but we're talking about this year, so why not, if you don't think the same thing if they got Eli? You think Kirk Cousins is better than Eli?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
I think he is better than Eli.
I don't. And Eli has skins on the wall, and he's done it in crunch time, and Kirk Cousins is curled up in the fetal position in crunch time.
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate, but.
Yeah, it is. Look what he did last year with playoff berth on the line. The Giants went in not even needing the game and beat him in Washington last year. So, yes, well, he has.
He's good enough in Washington. They pay him $25 million a year.
Well, they pay Eli a lot of money too, and he's got two Super Bowl rings.
Oh, I'm not
saying
I think
he's better than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Eli in his heyday is better than Kirk Cousins, but
He's not a better long term solution. I'll give you that, but he's a better player.
Eli Manning at his best, yes. Right now, no.
Let's come back. We'll look around the AFC South. We'll get the power rankings in the division. There's a game tonight in the division.
Are we done with calls?
Yeah, we're done. What was it?
I think we should do more.
You want to do more? You want to do more calls?
Maybe one or two more calls.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, what, is it your show now all of a sudden?
No, yeah. It's
no, it's not.
It's
no.
Bacelli
no, no, no,
and the Rockies.
Tonight it is, JP. Yeah. He thinks it is.
It is. Max told me. Max told me it was my show. James told me. And even Joe, who doesn't like to admit it publicly, said, really, Tony, it's your show.
355 NFL 1.
Here's
Jaguars.
That colon again.
Yeah, yeah, here he is. 355 NFL 1. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
It does. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, or as Tony would say, Tony Boselli and the Lackeys.
Two
Jaguars,
Lackeys.
Jaguars Monday.
Joe's not a Lackey. Max isn't a Lackey. Just the two Lackeys.
That's great. That's real nice. And just for you, Tony, we've opened the phone lines back up. Let's go to Eric, who's on the line tonight. Eric,
all right, Eric, let's go.
You're on the air. Good evening.
How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, no, I was just listening. I've been a long time Pete Prisco fan.
Really?
And yeah, I have.
You might
want
to get a life.
He's a smart man, what? That guy.
I said you might want to get a life if you're a Pete Prisco fan.
I've been a long time Pete Prisco fan, and you know what, Tony? You're entitled to your wrong opinion. And yeah. You say that all the time.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
You know what?
It's good.
And I just you know, it's you not you the Tony Boselli show.
Yeah, it is. You know what you're entitled to?
What?
Calling a different show. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Oh.
Wow, Tony.
He hung up on you.
No, I didn't hang up. I didn't hang up. I'm right here.
Don't let him hang up. Don't hang up, Joe.
I love your show. I love everything. Man. I love everything about it. I can't get enough of the show. And Tony Boselli, I mean, I do. I love it. But you have to give Pete give him a little props. He knows what he's talking about. He's a passing game guy, Tony. You were just a running game guy.
Wait a second. You're crazy. First of all, Pete Prisco is nothing. He's not a passing game guy. It's not
what
like
he's trying to do, Tony, like, is tell you to shut up.
It's not like he's Bill Walsh, you know, talking to us about the pass game or
yes,
well,
I am.
If I was a general manager, I would hire him. And I'm,
you know
and
what?
I'm not,
you'd be fired. If you hire Pete Prisco as your passing guru, you'd be fired.
BS.
No, hey, I like the compliment, but I wouldn't hire myself either.
You know what? No, I love the show. I just want to say hello. Right.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, bye.
Eric on the line tonight.
Tony, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't hire myself either. But the guy has a point, though. You were a run game guy.
It's not true. I think that was a planted call, by the way, and I don't think that's
I really wasn't. I have no idea who that is.
No, I think I do. I don't think that's Eric, by the way.
Let's go around.
I don't think his name's Eric. I won't give away
South,
who it is.
And let's start off with the first place. Jags at 3-3. Houston at 3-3. The Jags have the tiebreaker in that scenario right now, the advantage. Tennessee and Indy tonight. So the Texans, 33-17 winners over the Browns. Deshaun Watson threw three touchdowns. Jonathan Joseph had a couple of picks on defense. The Texans, it's going to be tough all year, Pete, without those defensive stars in the field, but they got one yesterday against the Browns at least.
Well, the Browns
that doesn't count. I mean, it doesn't count.
Right. That's like getting a bye week. They're awful. Kevin Hogan was terrible. They're bad. But you know what? The Texans can score. Deshaun Watson's got more touchdown passes than anybody in the league right now.
What is the story coming out of Cleveland? Sashi Brown going to get fired, or are they going to bring a football guy in with him?
I think he might end up getting kicked to the curb. But, I mean, maybe they'll make him back to what he was, Tony, which is not a football guy. He wasn't a football guy. That's not who he is. He didn't come up that way. They should hire Terry McDonough.
Could be interesting.
Terry's a good guy. I love Terry. I think he's a smart football guy and done a good job there in Arizona.
Tonight, the problem is, do you want that job? Is that
Steve
a place
Kine.
Where you go to rot?
No, if you're Terry McDonough, you take it if they offer it.
Yeah, I would too.
There's only 32 of them, Pete.
I know.
Tonight, an early look at Monday Night Football, a battle in the AFC South. The 2-3 Indianapolis Colts, led by Jacoby Brissett, visit Music City, USA, and the 2-3 Tennessee Titans, who return Marcus Mariota off a hamstring injury. Who you got tonight?
Why do you talk like that when you go to Monday Night Football?
Preview of the game, man. What do you
it's
want?
Awful.
Getting people fired up.
I mean, it's so bad. The music starts. It's Monday Night Football. We got the 2-3 Titans.
He's Howard Cosell.
Is that what I sound
it's,
like?
Yes, it is. It's embarrassing.
Who
that's
you got?
The voice you use when hey, JP, that's the voice you used when he called Alabama, Arkansas.
Yeah, you
that was it.
No,
yeah,
you didn't.
No.
Please tell me you didn't use that voice.
No.
The Titans. The Titans are going to win the game. It's in Nashville. The Titans are a better football team. I'll tell you who's been a good little find, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with them at the end of the season, is Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
I think he's played
the
good
Patriots,
football.
If you're the Patriots, you should have held on to him and traded Jimmy Garoppolo for defensive
Well, that's a whole other story, but he can be. I think Jacoby Brissett can. He can. I think he can lead a team. I think he can be the number one guy of a franchise.
We'll know a little bit more about him tonight, playing on the road on a Monday night. We'll see what
but Pete,
he does.
Has but he not played good football so far?
He has played good.
Yeah,
he has played good. And you know what? It's in. If they can win that game tonight, and I don't. I'm with you. I think Tennessee will win the game. But if they can win that game, they've kind of weathered the Andrew Luck storm, haven't they?
It'll be three and
3-3.
3-3. Is Luck going to be back next week against us?
Couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, I don't think you want to bring him back against our defense. In all seriousness, with the pass rush, he's going to get pounded. So,
hey, they should win that game next week. They should win that game. They gotten better, a little better on the defensive front too, Tony.
Who should win next week?
Jacksonville.
Yes. They have to win it. First of all, it's almost a guarantee because we win on every odd week. And the good news is the bye is an even week, so we're going to win the next two. Simple math.
Plus, they have to win next week so we don't have to hear you going off all day next Monday.
Well, I can't handle a bye of 2 weeks after a loss. Do we get a bye, too, on Monday nights?
Nope.
No.
The hurricane got us. We got to do a show Monday night.
Well, I was doing a show on the hurricane Monday. You guys weren't here?
You weren't here either.
Oh, I was in Houston. That's right.
Power rankings, AFC South. Quickly, gentlemen, where does this division stand?
Pete, you can go first. I went first last week. Go ahead.
Okay. Texans won. If the Titans win tonight, they're 2. Jacksonville, 3. The Colts, 4.
3.
Again, I have a algorithm that I spend a lot of time in.
Did you figure out how to spell that in a week's time?
Doesn't matter how I spell it. It's how I put it together.
Okay.
It's incomplete this week because there's no new information on the Colts or
fair,
the Titans.
Fair. Yeah.
And so I'm going to go the Jaguars, number 1. The Titans are number 3. The Texans are 2, and the Colts are 4.
So it could flip-flop at the bottom tonight, depending
the
on
the bottom
results.
We could flip and go
3-4-4-3.
Yeah, yeah. But the Jags are 1, the Texans are 2.
They're still 1.
They're the two best teams in the division.
Still number 1, even without a passing game.
Yes. We can run it.
God, he wait. You
we
you
can
really
run it
do
into,
wait.
We can run it into goal line formation and get 168.
Take a 175-yard pop, and the rest of it was
Pete,
meh.
If they don't give up a touchdown on the kickoff return and a blocked punt, they win the game 17-13. That's all you need to know.
If I was your size, I wouldn't have to beg to get in the Hall of Fame. I'd be in it.
Holy cow. Wow, where'd that come from?
From the top rope.
I just got blindsided.
Wow.
And by the way, I've never begged.
The funny thing is, I'm the one doing the begging.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never begged.
People see me. I tell you all the time, people see me coming, all the voters, they start running for the high heels because they know where I'm going right off the bat.
You might end up hurting me more than helping at the end of it.
No. Stop it.
I'm joking.
We'll come back. I got personal there. We'll come back.
You see how sensitive he got?
Wow.
I take the shot. I don't get sensitive.
Delicate flower.
I throw one back at Pete in the little, you know, sensitive, like, ooh. It's like it's like you, JP.
JP got the most sensitive.
I'm stronger.
Remember that
than
night?
Pete?
JP was
I'm
getting really bad that night.
I'm stronger than Pete was right there.
It's a competition.
No, you were almost whimpering
you were
that
right
night,
there.
JP.
You were whimpering right there.
The two lackeys.
No, I really wasn't.
The soft one is.
We'll come back and look around the National Football League. Week 6 results. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio. Baby.
beauty of it is it's still October. And, you know, we still are in control of our own destiny. You know, and that's all you really can ask for in this situation. You know, I mean, when you were behind a few games, you know, as such, you know, I mean, you know, but nobody in our division is, you know, 6-0. You know, we're still, you know, we're at least going to have a tie for first place in our division. So, you know, we're in a good place. You know, we just got to bounce back, you know. And I mean, one thing we've shown is we can bounce back. You know, we are very resilient. And, you know, and this would be a huge opportunity. We have to bounce back and figure out a way to get this win this week. Division opponent, you know, on the road, if we can go and get this one, that'd be huge. Going into a bye week. And then, you know, regroup. And, you know, then hopefully we can, you know, come out and start stacking some wins.
Calais Campbell in the locker room today. Jaguars defensive lineman. Jaguars Monday final moments coming up. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Let's go around the National Football League and recap games from week 6, and how about the Dolphins? Down 17-0. They score 20 unanswered somehow with that offense.
That's a bad loss for the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons,
I mean,
can't finish.
Really bad.
Terrible loss for the Falcons, and you got to win that game. You're up 17-0. They've known a few things about blowing leads, right? And now who do they play this week? They got to go to New England to play the Patriots in a rematch in the Super Bowl. Bad loss. Give credit to Miami. Hey, look, Adam Gase has had to deal with so much crap this offseason, this season. Remember, displaced, spent a week in California, had to go to play in London after that, after playing a road game at New Jersey, didn't play his first home game until
O-line
end of September.
Coach, liking the white
line
powder.
Coach, yeah, I mean, just a disaster. And whatever he said at halftime of that game sure got his team's attention. By the way, Tony, they're playing really good defense, the Dolphins.
Yeah, they got a good unit. Offensively, I'm not surprised that they held Atlanta to, you know, 17 points. I thought they would have scored a little bit more than that, but it usually takes Miami about 3 games to score 20 points with Jay Cutler in that offense right now. But like you said, give Adam Gase credit. They came out and played well in the second half. But they have major issues in Atlanta.
The Chicago Bears topped the Ravens in overtime 27-24. Trubisky in the game, 8-16, 113, a touchdown.
The Ravens are no good. They're done.
No, they're not.
At what point is there a change made there in John Harbaugh? It's a couple years now, Pete.
Yeah, I don't think so, but you could see where they would – you know, they've had so many injuries, Tony, so he kind of gets a pass on this one, right? I mean, the offensive line banged up. He had the center retire before the season. They lose Yonda.
He's a good coach. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but after a while, you're in one place for a long time sometimes.
Yeah.
A change of scenery is good for everybody.
But you know what? They'll probably somehow end up around 500, and they'll keep him there. And if it was a disaster and he went 4-12, then maybe. But I think he stays. They're not good, though. They go to Minnesota this week to play the Vikings. I can't imagine them scoring many points on them the way they play offense.
Speaking of the Vikings, they topped the Packers 23-10, but worse for the Packers, Aaron Rodgers done with a collarbone injury.
Changes
surgery.
The whole balance of the NFC. The Packers went from –
it really does.
You know, I would have said the three teams that I would have felt confident of making a run at the Super Bowl would have been the Eagles number one, the Packers number two, and then the Panthers would probably have been number three. But with the Packers out of there, tell me which teams in the NFC you have any confidence of doing anything. You know, maybe the Vikings move up there, but you have so many questions at quarterback with Keenum or Bradford, healthy, what direction you go there.
Or Bridgewater, he can practice now.
Yeah, Bridgewater is another guy you throw into the equation. But the NFC West, I know we just saw the Rams. And
Seattle will get right at some point, won't they, Tony?
I don't know, Pete. That offensive line is really not very good.
And then they might have lost Averill for a long, long time, maybe the year, because he's got neck issues. So
I don't know in the NFC where – I think the Eagles are going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And I think the fact that Aaron
you don't
Rodgers,
think the Falcons could get right.
Well, I'm not going to say they can't. They were, you know, they ended up going 11-5 after they were 7-5 at one point. Ran off 4 in the regular season, got to 11-5, got in the playoffs, got hot, and should have won the Super Bowl. So sure they can. They got good players. They got Julio Jones. They got Matt Ryan. They got a decent offensive line. I think Dan Quinn is a very good coach. So yeah, they can get it right. And we have a long way to go, and there's still a lot of injuries that can happen. A lot of things can go crazy in this league. I'm just saying, as we sit here today, Pete, in my opinion, the Philadelphia Eagles are the most complete and best team in that conference.
I would tend to agree with you. By the way, isn't it? It's kind of sad. Three of the faces of the league have gone in the last 2 weeks: J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham, and Aaron Rodgers. Not good.
No, it's never good when anyone gets hurt. Pete, before we go start bouncing around games, we talk about the AFC South power rankings. Give me your top five teams in the NFL, because I think it's a story, and I think it's a hard five to put together, and I think there's a lot of controversy, or at least a lot of arguments that can be made, because I'm not sure there's a dominant team right now in football.
There isn't. In fact, I was doing my power playing with my power rankings this morning, and I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, Kansas City has to stay in the one spot, even though they lost. You know why? The other argument would be for the Eagles, and they beat the Eagles.
But they only beat them by seven in Kansas City.
Still, they got to be ahead of them. They're number one. The Eagles are at the top. You know what? New England, probably still there. Pittsburgh, even though what Jacksonville did to them, it's hard, Tony. There aren't five good teams. I'll be honest with you. Right now, there are not five good teams in the NFL. There aren't.
Is it one NFC team, the rest AFC teams, as far as the top five? Or does Carolina get in there in the top five? I saw the Panthers. Carolina... The Panthers. And what's the story on Luke Kuechly? He had a concussion.
It wasn't really a concussion. I think it was his neck.
But why did they say the concussion protocol then?
I don't know. But I talked to somebody and they said it wasn't a concussion. So, who knows? They could be all trying to cover up something. If that's a concussion, he might be done. Right.
So I asked Pete this because as I was looking around, and I think I'd agree with him, Kansas City's the best. I think Philly's very good. But you start going, I mean, the Raiders were supposed to be good this year. They're 2-4. Mm-hmm. I mean, they get Derek Carr back and did nothing on offense, 16 points.
Tony, Denver
couldn't beat the Giants.
No, I have it. New England still at 3, Carolina at 4, and Washington at 5.
You have Washington at 5.
Well, who else?
Steelers. They just beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, but they got destroyed by Jacksonville.
Yeah, they're 4-2, Pete. What are the Redskins? I mean, the Redskins are 4-2 as well.
Right.
If the Redskins and the Steelers played right now, who are you picking?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so your power rankings stink. I just proved my point.
I was playing with it. These aren't the final ones. How about Minnesota's 4-2?
Minnesota's up there.
How about the Cardinals now with AP on their team? Does that change their dynamic in the next few
if he runs like he did on Sunday, yeah.
What about the Rams?
I'm not a believer in Jared Goff yet. But they're very. Yeah. I think they have a good offensive line. I think the back is elite. And I think the defense is getting better as Aaron Donald plays himself into football shape and back in the groove of things. I think they're very well coached. McVay is an outstanding young coordinator and head coach. And I think Wade Phillips is one of the best all-time defense coordinators in the league.
What about the Saints winning 3 in a row?
Mm-hmm. Big win, too. They had a huge lead and lost it.
They're 4-2 as well, right?
3-2. They had a bye already.
That's right. They had an early bye. Yeah. Defensively, they were playing good until the end of that game.
You know who's one of the bigger disappointments in the league right now? Tampa Bay.
How bad is Jameis's?
No, he's going to practice this week. I don't know how.
Right shoulder.
He's not going to be. How about Jack Del Rio's team?
So I said
2-4. 4 in a row. They've lost 4 in a row.
And they're going to lose 5 in a row on Thursday night.
They win Thursday night. That's desperation time. They win that game.
You think they beat the Chiefs?
Yep.
Wow.
Chiefs were coming in undefeated, I'd say yes. But Andy Reid coming off a loss, I think he's an outstanding coach. I think they got a ton of talent. And I think the Raiders are just okay, Pete.
I really don't think they're that good, but I think they're gonna find a way here to win the game. Derek Carr hasn't looked all that good. Amari Cooper, remember when everybody in Jacksonville wanted him to take Amari Cooper in the draft?
Crabtree's the number one receiver on that team. He's better than Cooper right now.
Yeah, Cooper. When you draft Cooper where they drafted him, he's supposed to be Julio Jones and AJ Green in that class, and Odell Beckham. He's not even close to that.
Interesting. The league is interesting right now. A lot of stars hurt.
It's the
like
weirdest of in my history covering the league. This is the weirdest six-week start to any season I've ever been.
No elite teams.
Nobody.
Pete, we'll talk to you next week.
Just elite radio shows. And that's us.
That's it. Through 6 weeks. Pete Briscoe, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, our show host, Tony Baselli.
Thank you.
I'm JP Shadrick.
Well done.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
win.